Now, the worship of Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in Avon, New York. Reverend Mia Richardson, pastor. Welcome to worship with the Avon United Methodist Church.
Good morning. And welcome everyone here and those that are listening to us by the radio or the podcast. I am lay leader Don Maston. With Pastor Kim away this weekend, the men of our church have taken over the responsibility of the worship service. Do you know that there are well over 3,000 men specifically named in the Bible? The Bible's portrait gallery is superb. What a mixture of character it presents. Here you will find kings and knaves, princes and paupers, the tender-hearted and the traitorous, saints and sinners, the courageous and the cowardly. Here we have men of like passion as ourselves. No wonder the Bible speaks of itself as a mirror. As we look at the lives of its men, pure and profane, we see ourselves.
Please stand as you are able and join me in a call to worship. Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge.
I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you.
The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot.
The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places.
I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me.
I thank the Lord always before me.
Therefore my heart is glad, and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure.
You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
This morning we have a hymn sing next. If anyone has a hymn that they'd like to sing, we'll sing one verse.
Thank you.
Will the children please come forward?
Good morning. How do you talk to God? Pray. What a good way to talk to God. You've got a little moment somewhere and you say, Dear God, can you help me this or can you help my friend?
I always used to say prayers for him. I always used to say prayers for him when I was always little and I always did that.
Well, can't be too much of it, I don't think. I think prayers are a good thing. Any other ways? I want you to kind of think big on this, because if you look around this room, you're going to see that we do all kinds of things to try and reach up to God. Not always talk, but we built this building, we make music, we light candles, we have a cross that acts as a big symbol for the life of Jesus, we have an organ, we have a piano, played by Mark over there, who makes beautiful music that we hope is going up to talk to God, right? So here's a tough question. Does he answer? A few times in the history that we study about the Bible, there are times when God seems to actually speak, but not very often. And I just think it's kind of a fun idea that at some point when you're reaching out, he might reach back. And with that idea in mind, I want you to come over here where you can see the piano keys, because I'm going to do a little reaching out. Let's see here. Sometimes I try to talk with God. I hope God will talk with me. When times are hard, I say a prayer, so God can help me see. I try to hear the message. I try to do what's right. Yes, I'll try to talk with God. I hope God will talk with me.
Hello, children. It's your God speaking. I do not often speak out loud, so you need to pay attention. As you know, I work in many mysterious ways. When you pray, or sing, or just think of your God, I do hear you, and will show you that living like my son Jesus is what is best for you.
Sounded like it might be bad. I don't know. We'll have to see. Let's try a little more. Sometimes I try to walk with God, like disciples in times of old, to march on with a mission, great changes would unfold. Then I could make things better, help others like our Lord. Yes, I'll try to walk with God. I hope God will walk with me.
Whatever you do, and wherever you go in life, I will guide you. Just ask yourself, what would Jesus do?
So, I will try to serve our world. I hope God will show the way. If I could be God's instrument, a symphony to play. Lead us, God, to walk the walk, and try to talk the talk. Yes, let's serve our world today. Our God will show the way.
So children, talk to me, walk with me, and work to serve your fellow humans and our world. And remember, God loves you, Jesus loves you, and your family at Evan United Methodist Church loves you. Above all, love one another. Now go forth and make the world a better place. Bless you.
Thank you, God. We appreciate that. That was Mark Blakely pretending to be God. Thanks for coming up.
Good morning. This morning's gospel reading is from John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. John has written this first-hand account of Jesus visiting his disciples the evening of Easter Sunday. Listen to God's words. The disciples were afraid of the Jewish leaders, and on the evening of that same Sunday, they locked themselves in a room. Suddenly, Jesus appeared in the middle of the group. He greeted them and showed them his hands and his side. When the disciples saw the Lord, they became very happy. After Jesus had greeted them again, he said, "I am sending you just as the Father has sent me." And then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they will be forgiven. But if you don't forgive their sins, they will not be forgiven." Although Thomas the twin was one of the 12 disciples, he wasn't with the others when Jesus appeared to them. So they told him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said, "First, I must see the nail scars in his hands and touch them with my finger. I must put my hand where the spear went into his side. I won't believe unless I do this." A week later, the disciples were together again. This time, Thomas was with them. Jesus came in while the doors were still locked, and he stood in the middle of the group. He greeted his disciples and said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into my side. Stop doubting and have faith." Thomas replied, "You are my Lord and my God." And Jesus said, "Thomas, do you have faith because you've seen me? People who have faith in me without seeing me are the ones who are really blessed." Jesus worked many other miracles for his disciples, and not all of them are written in this book. But these are written so that you will put your faith in Jesus as the Messiah and the Son of God. If you have faith in him, you will have true life. May God add his blessing to our understanding of his word. This number written by Don Francisco is a story of Peter, his story on Easter Sunday. The gates and doors were barred and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness and rose at every sound, half in hopeless sorrow and half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. And just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle and a voice began to call. I hurried to the window and looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. There was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said, "They moved him in the night, and none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away, and now his body, it isn't there." We both ran toward the garden, then John ran on ahead. We found the stone and the empty tomb just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they'd wrapped him in was just an empty shell. And how or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Well, something strange had happened there, but just what I didn't know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation, they couldn't lift me very high, because I'd seen them crucify him, and then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, my guilt and anguish came. Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. And even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. Suddenly the air was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. And I fell down on my knees and I clung to him and I cried. He raised me to my feet, and as I looked
into his eyes. Love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt in my confusion, they disappeared in sweet release. Every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive, and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide.
Pastor Kim gave us three sermons in March on the topics, why do people need Jesus, why do people need the church, and why do people need the Avon United Methodist Church. The three speakers this morning will summarize what they heard Pastor Kim say and then add their own perspective. Paul Brown will talk to us this morning on why do we need Jesus.
Good morning. Don's instructions, why we need Jesus, in 4 minutes flat. So here we go. First, I think it's always reasonable to outline a few of the things for which we should not cry out for Jesus or claim Jesus. A couple of things that Christians over the years have stumbled into that we might want to avoid. So Jesus does not offer us superiority. We're not the top dog. The ones that are the head of all religions, better than those Buddhists, those Muslims, those other sects, those pesky Presbyterians across the street. The last time I checked, the Bible says, love all your neighbors. And that's one of the reasons we need Jesus, is to keep reminding us of that. Does not give us claim to permanent health and wealth. I love that spiel that says, oh yes, all you do is this, this, and this for your religion, and you will be happily ever after, and don't worry about a thing. Most of us wouldn't have to hold our eyes open too long to know that that is not a path to follow, that rather God asks us to put aside our concerns for material wealth and our personal well-being, and instead to reach for God's love and to offer God's love. And one more thing before we go to all the great positives, infinite wisdom. If you just believe in Jesus, you know everything there is to know. It's a popular form of religious practice. And I think Jesus pretty clearly tells us we need forgiveness. We are flawed. We need to constantly return to confession and the search for better understanding of God's will. Now the gifts, and they are much too long to list in 4 minutes flat or in any other period of time, but a few of them would be you're suffering, you're in pain, you're experiencing grief, loss. Jesus is there to lift you up, to show you that life everlasting is out there for us and for those around you who may be having difficult times. For celebration, for those parts of life where the joy goes beyond what you can even imagine. Marriage, the birth of new children, grandchildren added to the family, great moments in people's lives where you say, teach me to be thankful, to appreciate just how good life can be. And also, we search for and we keep going back to Jesus to find clarity for our hearts and minds, thought and spirit. It's a lifelong search. It's not an instant gift. And Jesus is there for us to return to as we go through that unending process. Jesus, our example, our shining light. There's a prayer that's often said in this church and others that goes something like, May the meditations of my mind and the utterings of my mouth be acceptable to you, O God. Well, I'd like to suggest a variation on that. May the meanderings of your mind and my mind and the mumblings of your mouth be unacceptable to God, and may we all seek the guidance of Jesus to lead us on our way. I think that about does 4 minutes, so I'll hand off the baton. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Jim Thompson will talk to us on why do people need the church.
Good morning. Why do people need the church? To follow up on what Paul Brown has said, our hymn, "The Church is One Foundation," immediately came to my mind. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride, and with his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. Sunday, March 23rd, Pastor Kim spoke, and we discussed this topic, why do people need the church? I took notes, and I just summarized. First of all, we need the church for support along life's journey, for fellowship with other like-minded Christians. It is a place where we are free to express our faith. Here we learn God's word. For our mental health, to help us stay grounded, the church helps us to develop a worldview that is inclusive. It helps us gain strength for the next week and for our future. And the church provides a body for us together that we may reach out to our community and the world collectively to help others. I get this weekly centering moment sermon past few years, and there was a quote that I'd like to repeat. The church is a community of care that makes our grief and pain its own in order to be our companion on the way. And the church's Lord takes our grief and pain into himself, weeps with us, and is our companion on the journey until the end. And I also had a thought, sometimes we hear that we churchgoers are hypocrites. Are we? My answer is, what would we be like if we do not come to church? May God bless our church.
Tim Dickinson will talk on why the people need the Avon United Methodist Church.
So, why do we need the Avon United Methodist Church? We are each called here by God as evidenced by the fact that you are here. God has a plan for the Avon United Methodist Church, and that plan requires you, each of you. God has assembled this group of unique individuals for a reason and for a purpose. Our job is to seek out God's plan for us, find our role, then actively participate in the plan with our gifts and resources that have been given to us by God. We're each here because of the talent and resources and abilities that we have both individually and collectively. Our individual gifts given by God make us unique and in some way critical to carrying out God's plan. That's why we were called here. We are stronger and more able as a group than we are as individuals. That is why we are gathered here. We see this routinely when we come together for many things. Fish dinners, work days, the choir all demonstrate this. We use our individual gifts in concert with the gifts of others. The whole becomes greater than the sum of the parts. So how do we find God's plan for the Avon United Methodist Church? How do we determine our role? When do we decide to participate? Finding God's plan. It's not written down, so we can't read it. We need to try things until we find what works. We need to be ready to fail, rethink, and try again. Just like Thomas Edison found 5,000 ways not to build a light bulb before he met success, we need to find paths that don't lead to the plan, abandon them, and seek new ones. We will see pieces that are not a part of the puzzle. And we're trying to put this together. We must be ready to recognize and change direction when necessary. As we try new approaches to serving this community as God intends, we each need to find our individual roles in the effort. Your particular gift may be the key to making this endeavor a success. Maybe the gift of hospitality, or discernment, or teaching, or maybe music or communication is critical to our success. If we all look seriously at how we can be of service, we will find the pieces of the plan. If we assemble those pieces, the picture will become clear. Once we have enough of the pieces assembled, the plan will become evident. As it says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us." And in Isaiah 42:6, "I, the Lord, have called you to righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people." We'll soon have an opportunity to try a number of avenues of service to this community in answer to God's call for Change the World Sunday on May 18th. We'll begin to change the world starting with just one small piece, Avon. How can you use your gifts to make that happen? You could sing. Can you work? You could visit or write. Maybe you have an idea of your own. Share it. It could be the key. Find your role. Participate actively. This could be the beginning of the path we seek as a church. God has plans for us. What are your plans to find them?
Thank you, Tim. Wonderful message.
Creator and loving God, as an expression of your love for us, renew in our minds the teachings of Christ as he demonstrated love and compassion throughout his earthly life. May these lessons of love and compassion be expressed by us in our everyday lives, so that this congregation, this nation, and yes, even this world may be healed by our actions. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
This has been Jesus and the Church from a Man's Perspective, with the men of our church on April 27th, 2014. Speakers Paul Brown, "Why Do We Need Jesus?" Jim Thompson, "Why Do People Need the Church?" Tim Dickinson, "Why Do We Need the Avon United Methodist Church?" Plus, a special surprise visit by God during the children's moment.
You've been listening to the Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in the village of Avon. We hope that you have experienced the love of Jesus Christ during your time with us. We invite you to join us on the air weekly at 7:30 a.m. Sundays. Please visit us on the web at avonnyumc.org or call us at 226-8600. May God richly bless you.